Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, the band is back together. It's great to see everybody. Jeff Goodman, Bob Ryan. It is the Ryan Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast. Kind of get you up to date on what's going on in the NBA. Not a lot going on, but some big topics nonetheless. And we are driven by Bet Online. Yes, our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. So, guys, let's get to it with Durant. That is obviously the big story. Bob Ryan, I'll start with you. That is the albatross hanging over the Nets. So how do you feel about this, and who has the leverage?
He probably does, because they've got to do something. You know, he's not going to not play, I don't think. But interesting, I'm not big on that leverage thing myself. I mean, I understand what I'm saying. The most interesting fallout this week that I read was the NBA television schedule is being held up until they find out what team he's going to play for. And if he's not with the Nets, they're not going to be on national TV very much. Wow. And if he is, they are. And I don't know. So that's an interesting ramification, to put it that way.
Hey, regardless, the Nets should take the place of the Knicks on Christmas. What the hell are the Knicks doing on TV on Christmas? I don't care if the Nets don't get anything back for Kevin Durant, which we know if they trade him, they're going to get something good back. So, you know, it's going to be a good player. Plus Kyrie, who, whether you love him or hate him, he is must-see TV when he plays. And then Ben Simmons. Like, that Nets team is going to be intriguing. No matter, they're going to get something good back for KD.
Now, they won't get what they originally hoped for. You know that. I mean, everybody's got a yeah. But, for example, I read, you see, New Orleans, they're not giving up Brandon Ingram. I don't think so, because they dream about having him with Zion and Ingram, but they're not giving up Ingram. Apparently,
you're telling me, Bob, if you were David Griffin, you would not give up Brandon Ingram for. I mean, I know you've said you wouldn't give up Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant, so I guess you wouldn't give up Brandon Ingram for.
Well, I don't want Durant around at all. But period. So I mean, if they want him to,
okay. But the Celtics are in a different position than New Orleans.
Yes. Oh, very differently. Yeah. I mean, they're what a risky proposition for them to mess around with. You know, I'm dead against this. Yeah. Nothing's changed. I'm dead against this, and I think there's a growing sentiment of people becoming aware. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Celtics to mess around with the chemistry that they've created and the depth that they just brought. If they trade him along with White, along with some of the depth that they just created. They just created a needed depth. They're good enough to win without him. They don't need him. Stop it.
I don't know if they're good enough to win the whole thing without him. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm with Jeff.
Who's the favorite? If they're not, right now, who's the favorite?
Golden State? Wait. Are you telling me still in a 7-game series, even with Gallo, with Brogdon, you're still going to bet against Steph Curry after watching what he did?
I'll take my chances. The Celtics were right there. They lost the last two. Steph is a great player. Hey, who knows? Maybe they went the best of 13. The Celtics would have won. I don't know. They weren't outclassed.
No, they were not outclassed. They were not outclassed.
We know that the
Golden State also. Hey, Golden State also may have a kid named James Wiseman next year.
I understand that. Okay, fine. And so after the other favorites, fine. But I mean, if the Celtics get back to the finals again, I'm not. I think that's a pretty good thing. So I'm not worried about it. That's what I'm worried
my
about.
Concern is I don't want. My concern with this group of, because I'm more with Jeff. I wish I was adamant as Bob Ryan. I'm more.
No, I'm torn. Are you torn, Gary?
I'm torn because,
look,
this Boston Celtic team is very likable. I mean, they're just really likable. My God. I mean,
they're going to be more likable with Brogdon.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, just as like personalities, like, okay, could you ever get mad at like Jaylen Brown? No, I mean, the guy is civic-minded. He's smart. He's an upstanding citizen. I mean, there's so many good – I mean, like, if you have a daughter, you want him to date Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown – Jason Tatum, what's the worst thing he's ever done? He put his kids on TV too much. You know, I mean, there is nothing wrong with this Celtic team. And you love the coach, and they're just really good people. I mean, Marcus Smart – Marcus is kind of like – Marcus is Marcus, but they're really good people. So that's why I like them. And I think that's important when it comes to team chemistry.
So funny. It's just so funny because we should play back Gary, Bob, back in January. I hate him. I hate him. I can't watch him. They're unlikable. All of us said it. It wasn't just Gary. And now I love him. I like him. They're likable.
Well, it's amazing though, isn't it? I've never seen I've never seen a team do a 180 like this.
No. Bob said that. Bob, you've never seen that in all the time?
Nothing to that extent, yeah, I mean, no.
So, but having said that, gentlemen, for the sake of this discussion and continue to explore this, because I think, you know, I think the great basketball minds like Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman could talk about this forever. In my humble opinion, if Milwaukee comes back healthy, if Golden State comes back healthy, which Jeff alluded to, I don't think the Celtics are as good as those two teams. I think they need Durant to be as good as those two teams. That's the little voice in my head. I know how Bob feels, Jeff.
I'll give you Milwaukee with Middleton, obviously.
That scares the hell out of me, Bob.
I picked them and before it started, okay? In the East, for sure, I picked Milwaukee. So, and they were, I was very happy that he wasn't playing against them in a sense, but I do generally like to see everybody have their fair share, their fair chance. Okay. But yeah, they wouldn't be prohibitive favorites. And so, we still got people who can get, but we're going to be watching Tatum. The biggest issue with the Celtics that if they stand pat, which they hope they do, is how Jason Tatum's going to react to the criticism that he received for his, unspectacular performance in the finals. And I think he's like this, Bob.
He does, honestly, I don't think he gets too rattled by any of that. I really
don't think. But is he capable of being inspired by?
I don't think you're going to see it on his face if he.
But performance.
I think he's motivated.
Well, that's the case with the additions that they made without any loss. Nothing they needed. They gave up nothing they needed. Nothing. Zero. To pick up two guys, one for sure will help them, and the other we hope will. We're not positive that Gallinari has how much he's got left in the tank. But
I think if Durant comes back, I think they can win it all with Durant. Now, having said that, you lose Jaylen Brown, you have Kevin Durant. He's 34 years old. What's his health status going to be? How much do you risk him during the regular season? How's his head? I think if Kevin Durant is right mentally and physically, they can win it all next year.
I mean, think about this starting five. All right, the top seven. All right, I'm going to give you the top seven.
Sure. If
you make a trade without having to give up Marcus Smart, which I think if you're Brad Stevens, you hold out for that. You just say, you know what? We're bidding against nobody. I'm going to wait till Kevin Durant has the report, and then Sean Marks has no choice. He's got to make a move. So Malcolm Brogdon and Marcus Smart as your two guards. Elite defenders. They can play together. Brogdon, both of them can kind of make plays. Brogdon, obviously, higher IQ basketball player, offensively moves the ball, makes the right decisions. Smart, again, we know what he is. KD and Tatum. I mean, imagine at the end of a game, closing out a game and having those two dudes to be able to make plays. And then Robert Williams at the five. So defensively, you're pretty much just as good. I know everybody's like, Jaylen Brown this, Jaylen Brown that. He has slid defensively. He is not the player that he was a few years ago. And Kevin Durant with that length defensively is a menace when he wants to be. And then you got Gallo and Horford coming off the bench. That's your top seven. That is damn good. That's the favorite. You're clearly the favorite with that seven, Bob.
Well.
But this year. But Bob's argument is, what about the next 10 years?
No, not necessarily.
I think he's talking this year. I think Bob would rather have Jaylen Brown this year.
I just want to win with this guy. I don't need this guy. I don't want this guy. I don't trust this guy anymore. No, seriously.
That's fair.
I do not trust him. I don't like the way he's devolved, not evolved. I don't like the way he's devolved as a personality and as a thinker about what he wants. And, you know, and not, once again, I will say he's nowhere near the level of inscrutability of you know who. Right. But he's not reliable as
okay, he. But here, all right, and fair. I'll play devil's advocate. Let me play devil's advocate here. Again, I've known him a long time. Really, really, like I loved Kevin Durant up until honestly he chose to play with Kyrie. Loved him the whole way. I love what he did going to Golden State. I was completely behind him. I thought it was a mature move to win and sacrifice. Instead of playing with Russell Westbrook and not winning and not playing the right way. So I was all in on that when half the country hated him for it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, to me, is there anything that can be said about the fact that everybody's killing him right now? He can't come out and say it publicly, but is this Kevin Durant admitting he made a mistake going to play with Kyrie Irving and saying, you know what? I want out. I can't say it publicly and kill my buddy and kill Kyrie, but I'm saying it. Without saying it, I'm saying I want to trade. I want out.
Here's the thing that I think is going to happen, guys, is the Nets are going to have to trade him because he's not going there. Because I think that he does realize that if he goes back to the Nets, his career is over. That's what I think he feels. Because you can't depend on Kyrie. And someone who's an unknown. I mean, if he goes to Boston, he knows what he's got. He's got a guy, he's got a coach, he's got a team, he's got a roster. So I don't think that Kevin Durant is going to play another game for the Nets because at the age of 34, he realizes this is it. And if he goes back to the Nets, he's done.
No, and we have to make sure we remind people, you made one allusion to it earlier. What do you think the over-under on games he's going to play is?
Bob, I have no idea. You know, I'm not even going to try. Jeff, what do you think about that?
What do you mean, over under?
Regular season.
What games are you going to play this year due to health reasons?
As long as he plays 60 and plays in the postseason, who cares? It's the same thing with Malcolm Brogdon, right? Like, go ahead, miss your 20 games. That keeps Peyton Pritchard happy. You know, he'll get his minutes in those 20 games. And Malcolm Brogdon, be healthy when it matters in the postseason. Get your chemistry, play 60, 65 games. Same thing with Kevin Durant. If you play 70, great. But to me, the magic number is 65.
All right, let's move on to this one. And when I you know, I like Giannis. He seems to be a really nice guy. But when I saw this in print, where and he's a smart guy. He was probably just having a very reasonable conversation. But when if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, you can't sit there and hear your guy that you're paying $250 million to, that's won a championship with you, that is your franchise, to hear him say, well, yeah, at the end of my career, I would like to go play for the rival, the Chicago Bulls, because Michael Jordan did. I mean, hello.
You know what? It's 2022. I don't know where the cutoff is exactly, but when we have to reconcile that it's a wholly different world in every which way, including matters such as this. But we're here in a different world. If this statement had been made certainly 5 years ago, you know, we'd all be turning. I'm not even going to tear my hair out. The world, there's a different crop of people, the different sensibilities, different. Okay. I wouldn't freak out if I were a Bucks fan. I'd just say, okay, but you know, you're still here now. And that wouldn't bother me at all. That's me. I'm sure that it's probably not speaking for the majority. This is the world we're living in. This is the world. He's got a whole frame of reference. That's thank you. I was trying to search for the, yeah, frame. It's a, they all have a different frame of reference than we once had. I'm
as not long, listen. As long as Milwaukee is competitive and fighting for NBA championships and Eastern Conference Finals appearances, Giannis will stay in Milwaukee. The moment that that thing falls apart, he's gone, in my opinion. I don't care how good a guy he is, and he is. He's elite level human being, all that work ethic. You never hear a bad word. I almost think he was being too honest here and just saying like, yeah, who wouldn't want to play for Chicago? It's a great city. You know, Michael Jordan came, you know, obviously that's a long time ago. He didn't watch MJ, but still he knows the history. I just think he was being honest. And, you know, again, who wouldn't want to be in Chicago right now, by the way, in the summer rather than Milwaukee?
Well, I like Milwaukee. But that's
Milwaukee's okay. Underrated, too.
Oh, come on. Chicago compared to Milwaukee? In the
I love
summer?
Chicago. It's one of my five top American cities.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Wrigley Field.
But I do You're like right. Milwaukee. Right. I got nothing against Milwaukee. Anyway, it's an interesting. It's just sign of the times. You know, okay. He will give his 110% to the Bucks.
Don't have to worry about that.
Okay, a break in the action with Bob and Jeff. Tell you about Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, Major League Baseball scores, fights, even the upcoming NFL season's futures. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, live betting, favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, let's get back to the conversation with Bob and Jeff. Bob noticed this, being the well-rounded person that he is, but no games on Election Day, Bob.
This is an interesting statement by the NBA now, obviously, there's only two leagues. Well, there's three leagues that could theoretically make this declaration, everybody but baseball. Although baseball is going to November 5th. If there's a game 7th this year, by the way, we just learned yesterday. But, you know, it's an interesting – they're trying to promote, what, civic awareness, I guess, or something. It's an interesting new angle, don't you think? I just arched an eyebrow. And not in disapproval, but oh, really? Well, you know, who are they trying to impress ultimately? I'm not sure, but
well, I think I'm going to assume that the NBA is, or the players generally are on more on the liberal side of things. And I don't know if there's a lot of Trump supporters or a lot of Republican supporters in the NBA, just my read. So I think they want to make, you know, they're making a statement that they want to make.
Get them to, well.
Yeah, they want to have people at the polls. They want them to be available. They want players to be available to go to the polls, and they want to encourage players to go to the polls.
I mean, there's been a big push in college basketball that, you know, they don't have games on Election Day. They don't have practices now. They, you know, the Champions Classic, which is set to always kick off college basketball on that Tuesday, has been pushed back a week this year. Because of Election Day. So I feel like it's just kind of every league is eventually going to go this route because, again, you know, listen, for better or worse, politics have come to the forefront a lot more for the younger generation now.
It's an interesting move, and I just caught my attention. And, you know, I just said, once again, welcome to 2022.
Well, the owners can go – vote.
For different reasons.
The players can vote left wing because the owners will vote with their pocketbook, and then we'll see what happens. Pete Carrill.
Yeah.
The great Pete Carrill, and had passed away at 94?
92.
Bob Ryan, the floor is yours. Princeton coach, went on to be an assistant in the NBA with the Kings.
There is an NBA connection, of course, with the Kings, thanks to his player, Jeff Petrie. And he wound up spending the rest of his life out there. This is a fascinating man. First of all, the title of his book, folks, is I loved always. He wrote a book, and the title was The Smart Take from the Strong, spoken from the perspective of a guy 5'6.5", who was an all-state basketball player in Pennsylvania, by the way. Pete Carrill was a character, a true American original character, and a great coach at Princeton, helped along with Penn State, dominated the Ivies. His style of play was controversial for some people, you know, with the pass, backdoor stuff. I'll tell you one thing about him that I hadn't taken, I had thought about a whole lot. He was an early big advocate of the three. He embraced the three. And I don't know whether Daryl Morey got this from him or not, because his rationale was three's better than two. I got a feeling Daryl Morey got that from Pete Carril, not the other way around. But anyway, a really a fascinating guy. My exposure to him was at first from a Boston College basketball player named Bobby Duquette, who coached at Marquette and St. Peter's of Jersey City, and who was an assistant at Princeton as well. And I was down there for a game, and he took me in there after the game, and I met Pete. And Pete walks over to a locker and picks up a sneaker of one of his players, a 6'7" guy, was size 14, and says, "This is why he can't play defense." Size 14 don't move too well laterally, he said. But just a tribute to one anecdote. John Killalay, the late John Killalay, the longtime Celtic assistant and very well-known local high school coach in Massachusetts, was a scout for the Celtics. And in 1970, the 70-71, 69-70 season, he was on a scouting mission, took him to Los Angeles, where he attended a practice. Princeton was out there to play UCLA, defending champion UCLA. This is the Wicks road team after Lou Alcindor left, we graduated. And John Killalay reported to me, and then he saw them play the game the next night. And he said, it was the greatest application of game planning and a practice concept to a game in college he had ever seen. And in that game, Princeton lost on a tip-in by Sidney Wicks at the buzzer. They came that close to beating UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. And he just was so marveling at what a great coaching job it was, win or lose, for Princeton to play that well and do exactly what they were supposed to do against UCLA. The last time we saw his team was in 1996 when they beat UCLA, the defending national champion, and that backdoor play on the baseline, double cut by Gabe Llewellyn. And that was that they knocked off UCLA in the tournament, and they did lose their next game, which was his last game. Hall of Famer, class of 97, a good guy to hang out with. Let me tell you, you want to have a beer with Pete Carril.
Funny dude.
A good guy to hang out with, but a guy, he knew exactly what he was doing. Frankly,
Do you have
contact with him, Jeff?
I met him a couple times, and just a big personality. Huh. Funny, just kind of could own a room. I mean, that's what he did, and you just kind of wanted to listen to the stories. And it's funny, Bob, like fewer and fewer coaches now are playing using the Princeton offense, even his kind of disciples.
Yeah,
there's a few of them out there. Mitch Henderson, still coaching at Princeton.
Yeah.
Chris Mooney obviously has done a really good job over the course of his career and took Richmond to the NCAA tournament last year. They still use a lot of people use like Princeton principles now, but they're not running like full.
Well, some of the stuff that they did, that they were the nightmare opponent in the first round in a tournament during many of those years.
Yeah, Georgetown. They almost beat.
And I was at that game. Now let me tell you about the Georgetown game, which was in Providence in '89, and there was no seating as we know it now, but basically it was a 116. If it would have been, it was the equivalent of a 116, and they're playing Alonzo Mourning and company at Providence, and they got him down by like 10 in the second half at one point, and it ends with Mourning blocking a shot on Bob Scrabus, which many people felt was a goaltend, and I was rooting like hell for Princeton, but no, it wasn't. It was a great play by Mourning, in my opinion. But here's what occurred to me, and I should have put the two and two together on the three in that game. The way they were going out, that they had to play Georgetown. They had every basket in the game they made, with one exception, was either a three or a layup. There were not one mid-range, except there was a 6-foot putback, a long rebound, 6 to 8 feet that Scrabus pushed, just slapped back up. Every other shot, and that was way ahead of its time. It's 1989 that they did this, but that was another. People remark about how that game. That's a game where in losing, they didn't lose. They just didn't win. You know what I'm saying? In the eyes of people. All right, I got one more. I got to read you something from his book, and this is Pete Carril, and this is from his book, and he said, For me, the basic thing has to be teaching. I was reading in a newspaper once about a professor who was retiring and the kind of teacher he had been. Very demanding, always insisted on best effort, a little cantankerous. I thought, hey, they're talking about me, except that I yell and swear. And, you know, he was a Spanish descent. He was, his Pedro was on his birth certificate.
Really? I didn't know that.
And very proud Spanish descent. Now, you know, we have all kinds of Latin American ethnics, but we don't think about actual Spaniards in America, you know, but he's from a Spanish family, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Anyway, it's a big loss to the basketball world, basketball community, and the NBA, the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame has announced that they're going to be tribute to him for a full month this year. So that's the stature of Pete Carril and, RIP Petey.
Bob, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Jeff, good to talk to you. Guys, we'll do it again next week, and maybe we'll have a new chapter in the Durant scenario.
I hope not.
Okay. All right, fellas. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
That's good.
Unless he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent. There you go.